Hour 3 of Overdrive, finally here, up on TSN 1050 in the iHeartRadio Canada app. Karolnik Corrado, Al's brother with you, Michael DiStefano. And when I was looking at the schedule, the television schedule for this program today, I noticed only 2 hours. Only 2 hours. The third hour, like, all right, that's enough for those guys. We are not giving them 3 hours of airtime. I'm sure there's something up on TSN 4 that is a lot more worthy of people's watching than us three stages.
I don't know about that. But we'll ask Duthie. We'll see if he's listening. Like, so
it was probably his decision, really.
Yeah, maybe. He's got a lot of pull around here.
Yeah, let's bring him in. It's James Duthie live from Edmonton, Alberta. I don't know, you on a golf course, a patio somewhere, JD? What's going on?
If I was making the decisions, there would no way this particular show with these three clowns would be on the television.
Yeah, it would be the case.
We'd replay, like, you know, Kiana's Flex Appeal or something from the 90s.
Maybe like NBA in the Paint from 1998 that you were hosting, James?
Yeah,
that could also
with
be
my
something.
My little mock turtleneck.
Exactly.
Maybe.
A great look. So I imagine you've been watching the first 2 hours of the show and you took a keen interest to one Jeff O'Neill with a certain criticism of you on the golf course today. Would you like to respond?
First of all, the grappler let me know about it. So
you don't have to lie, James. I know you've been
listening to your show when I'm not out here.
Okay.
I don't know what he said. He probably said I shot 140 because he adds 50 strokes.
122.
I will cop to the fact I had an extremely rough day. It was not 122. I think 93, but AK, I might have been. You know how the Golf Canada app, you know, if you take an 8 and they can only let you take a 7, it might have knocked me down a couple.
We do have the scorecard. It's up.
There it is.
It's up
on
TSN2.
Yes, it is. That's a beautiful thing. Plus 25. Yeah, it's a lot of double squares.
Ooh,
that's an ugly scorecard, JD. My goodness.
There was a lot of nastiness there. But I guess O-Dog failed to mention our earlier round this week when it was Bob McKenzie and him playing Rashog and I straight up, and O-Dog played very well for the first 13. They were up 4 with 6 to play, and the O-Dog had a hat trick of shanks. We won the last 6 holes to beat him and make him buy us lunch.
Wow. Hat trick.
So, funny how he left that part out.
Very uncharacteristic of the O-Dog.
Yeah. Let me ask you, JD, after the third shank, is it laughter? Is it just utter silence?
I was so embarrassed for him, I wanted to go and hide.
Is it one of those things when you're playing with the O-Dog and he does that, do you have to be careful about, you know, how much you laugh or how much you smile? Like, could he bring down the mood of the group with that?
I thought he'd drive off and just leave, which is... I will say this, when he shanked on 18, when the match was on the line, he actually somehow got up and down from the woods like 50 yards away, so it was kind of a miracle par. So I'll give him credit on that. And he did shoot a legit 72 today, which could have been a 65. So I have to give him his love. But I just want to say there's only been one pressure match this week, and he folded like a cheap tent.
All right. Well, we needed that information from you, JD. We'll let you get back to your evening, but I'm just curious because we asked O-Dog, and he said he was basically going to sleep at 5:30 or whatever when we had him on earlier. What's the plan tonight for the Bob McKenzie birthday bonanza? You guys drinking a bunch of margaritas
first of all,
or what?
Unlike O-Dog, I participate in company activities, so I just came from the company pitch and putt, by the way, where I shot a sparkling 62.
Okay.
There was no hole longer than 81 yards. And now I'm going to the company barbecue, which I'm guessing that O will also not be attending. Bob McKenzie will be coming with me as my plus one for his birthday celebration.
Wow, sounds like a nice evening. Not as good as the time we had at the Grey Cup together, James, but probably a close
Never
second.
Never will be.
No, that night will live in TSN infamy. Thank you for doing this, man. Enjoy the day off, and we look forward to watching Canada-Switzerland tomorrow on TSN.
Thank you so much for having me. Don't ever call me again in the summer.
I think you're on our show tomorrow morning, first up, 9:30. So get some sleep, James.
Bye. All right,
that's James Duthie. He laid down a lot. That's some impressive stuff.
O's a good player. He's shooting 72. So for him, anything above 90 is just 122.
You're right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Doesn't matter at that point.
All right. It's time for Confirm or Deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX350 premium package from just $318 bi-weekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. What a flawless read. So I'm going to pass the baton over to the grappler who will present our topics for Confirm or Deny.
Very impressed with the read. Nailed it. I know you were a little nervous heading into the show with that read. A little bit wordy, very flawless.
Thank you.
All right. Confirm or Deny. George Springer cannot be looked upon as a reliable center field option for the remainder of his contract.
He's got, 3 years left on his deal, does George Springer? I'm going to confirm it, and we know he's getting up there in the years. I think a move to right field just makes a lot more sense. Less taxing on the body, and I think you're going to see a lot more DH for Springer, not only for the remainder of this season, but heading into next season as well. I'm going to confirm it. I think Springer starts next year in right field.
I'm going to deny it, Grappler, and that's just because he's going to have an offseason here where he's going to be able to get himself healthy, take the time that he needs. He's been injured right from the get-go with the Blue Jays. I think at some point throughout this contract, he's going to need to take the appropriate time off where he doesn't have things lingering, whether that involves surgery or whatever the case may be. But I think at some point throughout this contract, he's going to be a guy who's reliable at center field, and he won't have the lingering issues.
Yeah, I'm going to deny it as well. I think hopefully over the offseason he can kind of figure out that injury that is ailing him. But also, there's no young guy who's there pushing, trying to move him to the corner outfield at this point. Like, who's going to go and troll patrol center field for the Blue Jays if not for George Springer?
Has to be a free agent, I guess.
What about Whit Merrifield?
Whit Merrifield doesn't have the presence that George Springer has either, right? Like, I think when you have him in center field, I think he kind of patrols a lot for everyone else, and so I think that goes a long way for them.
Well, and again, this is kind of a domino effect. If you move George Springer to right, you're going to have to move somebody else.
Hey, Oscar,
lineup.
Now.
There you go. I mean,
what's going on with
who
him?
Knows? You could be looking Lourdes. At a deal. I think it makes sense, and I don't know if you have George Springer tied up to that contract with that amount of money, you need to find a way to keep him in your lineup, and I think a good way to do that is by moving him from center to right. What else we got? Graps?
Okay, confirm or deny. The PGA Tour and LIV Tour will one day have a Ryder Cup-style event.
Oh, what a great question. Frank, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to say I'm going to deny it, Grappler. I don't think the PGA Tour has any interest in interacting or mingling with the LIV Tour because the money and the structure of the money is too different. The PGA Tour guys are going to be winning their money based on what they earn, based on merit, based on winning tournaments, making cuts. The LIV Tour, you're going to get all your money up front, and that's it. Like, it's not something where you're going to get $100 million up front, then you're going to get $4 million for every other win. Like, it's prepaid. I don't think they're going to coexist. I think there's too much bad blood from the PGA Tour side of things as far as guys leaving, guys recruiting to go over there. And I'll tell you what, man, like Will Zalatoris winning that tournament, no one on the LIV Tour will ever have that feeling that Will Zalatoris had this weekend. And
Mr.
I think that's
PGA
pretty cool.
Tour, Frankie Corrado, flying the flag. I am going
Tiger Woods
to confirm this. And Frankie, what you're saying is correct right now. But this is not a question in 3 months or 6 months. This is at some point in time. And if I know the Saudi government, they got a lot of cash to sprinkle on the LIV Golf Series. I don't foresee this going away anytime soon. I expect more top tour players to move to the LIV Golf Tour. And at some point, the PGA Tour is going to have to face facts and accept the reality that the LIV Golf Series is here to stay. And I think it would be a big-time moneymaker for both the tour and, not that they really need it, but LIV as well. Yeah. So I'm going to confirm it. Al's brother, your thoughts?
I think you've persuaded me, AK. At first, I think I was on the side where I'm like, I don't think they're going to want to give the LIV Tour the spotlight. But, I mean, LIV might come in and say, look, we'll pay you to do this tournament.
Sure.
And they've got we know the bankroll that they have with the LIV Tour. I mean, they come to the PGA and they said, hey, we're going to give you a little blank check. Let's do this little Ryder Cup style. We'll all benefit from it, and you certainly will benefit from it.
Are they going to play 54 holes then?
Oh,
are they going to have,
there it is.
Are they going to have
no
the Crushers golf team?
Yeah.
The Four Aces playing against, you know, like, it's just, it's so wacky.
Well, it's like when the World Series, when it was the American League and the National League, where there was different rules, and based on where you were playing, I suppose, is where you do that. So I'm sure you could come up with some sort of compromise,
sure,
between the two leagues to make it happen.
I think at the end of the day, it's about the PGA Tour refusing to legitimize LIV as a legitimate tour. And for that reason, now, I think there's no chance PGA would ever consider it
in the near future.
Also, but like, 5 years down the road, why not? Who knows how things materialize?
Well, how would that competition go?
Like, you have basically the top eight LIV guys versus the top eight.
Right. And what
PGA
I mean,
guys.
Like, in the end, you'll sit there and say, wow, the PGA Tour is way better than LIV.
Well,
now,
you never know.
But who knows?
On any given weekend, Patrick Reed, like, that guy can win a tournament.
Yeah,
like,
Cam Smith, DeChambeau, like, Koepka,
like,
DJ.
Exactly. Like, there's guys that can still win tournaments,
sure,
there. There's a lot of name value. They're not relevant right now. The way I see it is like this, too, with the PGA Tour a lot of times. Someone comes in, they have their flash where they win a lot and they're very relevant, and then they tail off. Like, who's to say that, like, Cam Smith and Cam Young aren't what Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau and DJ have all come and done, where they come in, they have their little bit of dominance, and it fizzles out, and then they're just a big household name. I hope that's not the case. I hope, you know, for Cameron Young, who's staying on the PGA Tour, I guess, you know, I hope he's someone, Will Zalatoris, but Cam Smith, he's as good as gone.
Yep.
And he's going to the LIV Tour.
We'll ask Bob Weeks. He'll join us in about 20 minutes. What do we got next, Graps?
Okay, confirm or deny, Connor Bedard will have multiple seasons of at least 50 goals in the NHL.
Multiple 50-goal seasons. Now, when we discussed this earlier, we had to look and see how many guys have had multiple 50-goal seasons in the last 20 years.
100% confirm.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
100% yes. Confirm.
Go ahead, AB.
I mean, Connor Bedard, we're talking about him and his shot as if he's the next Alex Ovechkin, the next Austin Matthews. Like, for such a guy who hasn't quite grown into his body yet, the amount of power that he has in that thing, then you include the deception of that shot, he's going to score a lot of goals,
yep,
over the course of his NHL career. No, health aside, obviously, and you never want to hope for that. But I think Connor Bedard is going to take this league by storm. He's going to be an absolute phenom when it comes to goal scoring. I could see this guy, you know, scoring 50 goals twice, three times, four. Like, maybe,
yep,
he's Ovechkin, where it's every year. That's kind of the benchmark of a good year. Did he put up 50 this year? If he didn't, maybe he's tailing off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that guy certainly, multiple, that means twice? Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to confirm it as well, and I'll look at it this way. Connor Bedard's going to enter the NHL as an 18-year-old. Let's say if he stays healthy, he's going to have a 15-year career. You're telling me he can't have two seasons where he scores 50 goals? Just based on that alone, and the fact that we're talking about his shot with the likes of Ovechkin and Matthews and, you know, even Stamkos, like, so I think there's a very realistic possibility he has multiple 50-goal seasons.
So Ovechkin's done it, I think, 9 times. And, you know, Ovechkin, you put him aside because he's an absolute freak. But, I mean, beyond that, Stamkos is at 50-plus twice. Ilya Kovalchuk scored 50-plus twice. And
Matthews was on pace.
Matthews was on pace.
Gonna do it.
But again, Matthews is a generational goal scorer. He's going to go down as one of the great goal scorers of all time, assuming all goes right for his health.
Yes.
Is Connor Bedard at that level of goal scorer? It's just a lot to put on him. So if I was betting one way or another, I'd probably deny it. And just
you
based
wouldn't
on
sprinkle a little bit on that.
Well, I would cheer for it. Who doesn't want to see goals scored? But just based on, again, Stamkos did it twice.
That's a long-term
Stamkos
investment.
Is one of the great goal scorers in the last 20 years.
Stamkos has had the injury issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of another factor where you consider, you hope Bedard plays 82 games
aside,
every year.
But you also look at the way that the NHL is trending, right? It's trending into a more high-scoring game. And that's based on, you know, rule changes. It's based on them calling certain penalties, and there are more power plays in the game today. You've got more of a tandem situation. You don't have the, you know, workhorse goaltenders who are the top of the class playing 75 games. So it's easier to score today than it was 10, 15 years ago. So with that, I think in the next 15 years, they're going to keep trending that way. I doubt they're going to try and limit goal scoring. So certainly, I think that the next up-and-coming, the best goal scoring prospect that maybe we've seen since Austin Matthews, for sure. I think 250 goal seasons, two plus maybe, definitely in the cards.
All right. All right. I like it. What else we got, Graps?
Okay, moving on to a little NFL. Confirm or deny, Lamar Jackson gets a contract done with the Ravens before week one. Hmm. A self-imposed deadline of week one.
So Lamar Jackson representing himself in these contract negotiations, and you're a pro athlete, Frank. I mean, would you ever consider representing yourself? Yeah. I mean, that's not exactly...
I've seen guys do it at the NHL level, and usually those guys, it's a pretty cut-and-dry process. It's like, listen, I've been with your organization, I've probably won with your organization, and this is what the guys who have my numbers, my pedigree, this is what they make, this is what I should make. There's a legacy portion of that involved. So, you know, I guess you can look at it that way, but... I'm going to deny it. I think the fact that it's not done yet and it's not going to be one of those things, if it's not done week one, it's going to carry on. It's going to drag out. And the fact that he's representing himself, like, I don't know what the, like, are you going to look at Deshaun?
Yes.
Like, you know, like,
if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm like, okay, I'll just take what Deshaun Watson got.
Yeah. No,
he's won the MVP a couple of years ago.
That's a cut and dry negotiation from his point of view. He doesn't need an agent. He's going to say, listen, this is what he got. This is what I should get. Let's if it's not done by week one, don't talk to me because now I need to focus on football. You know where I'm at.
And you look at the franchise tag, which is what Lamar Jackson will play under next year if he doesn't sign a contract extension. That's still like $40 million.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like he's going to be poor. Yeah. He'll be just fine. If he wants to play under the franchise tag of $40 million, I'm sure Lamar Jackson won't be devastated to do so. Your thoughts, AB?
How difficult is it, though, when you're a guy like Lamar Jackson who was injured last year and he doesn't quite have the frame that you like to see out of a mobile quarterback like that? As an athlete, like, what is that going into it thinking, do I want to make sure that I got myself locked up long term, or do I want to go into this year and maybe risk injury? Like, don't you want that guaranteed money?
Everyone's different, man. I think a lot of people want to have security. I think a lot of athletes want to have security because it just allows you to do your job better. You don't have anything hanging over your head.
Like, how many decisions is Lamar Jackson going to take this year knowing if I get hurt, I'm not getting paid?
But you can look at it two ways, though,
guys,
Frank.
Exactly. There are guys, and that's, I've seen it throughout my career as well, where they're like, no, I need to have something on the line.
Yep.
I need to know there's something dragging me into the fight. And maybe he's one of those guys where he looks at it and says, if it's 40 million, he's like, that's not doing it for me. Like, I can do better. And that's what drives some of the world's best athletes. So it's really going to depend on what side of the fence Lamar Jackson sits on.
Yeah, and you know, you could use the Deshaun Watson contract as a low threshold for Lamar Jackson. What if he goes out and has another MVP-type season, the Ravens go deep in the playoffs, and it's on the back of Lamar? Then he's going to be like, all right, Deshaun Watson, forget that deal.
There's potential.
$40 million on top.
Kyler Murray.
Sure. I mean, I'll be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL
I'll confirm it. I think they'll figure it out. I think that he probably wants to put it to bed, and I think they also want to have him know this is our guy long term. I think they figure it out by week one.
Grappler.
All right, continuing with the NFL, we're only a few weeks away from Team Aldog making their long-awaited return. Confirm or deny,
waiting?
Team Aldog will win at least 55% of their games over Team Hayes.
100% confirm.
2022 NFL season.
100% confirm.
Oh, we're going to circle back on that.
Why would you
100%
say that?
Confirm.
Joe from the Bridge, please clip this.
Can you elaborate?
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why would people or I confirm... You had 55%, which is a good number. I mean,
over the course of a tough number. That's a tough number to
me. If it was 80%, you would still confirm it, but yeah, I'm going to deny it. If it was maybe 50%, but I think if we've learned anything about Brian Hayes, he's a tough opponent when
he's
it comes to making NFL picks.
Hayes is seeing it. I'm going to deny it. Hayes is already tweeting out Beansy from time to time. Hayes is doing his best bets, his FanDuel best bets. He's getting a lot of them. Buddy, I think you're in tough. I really do. But you're going to be well prepared.
Good,
I know you're going to have you're going to come on here. You're going to have your stats. You're going to have all your rationales, all your reasonings.
And they're going to be junk reasonings.
I have been establishing tremendous information all offseason. We're going to apply it. I think 56, 57%, that's what we're going to aim for. That's above the 55% mark. Simple math. 100% confirmed.
I actually think you would do better on hockey than you do on NFL. You're pretty dialed in. Like, you and I text during a lot of Leaf games, and I'm like, Al's brother kind of knows. Like, he knows.
Kind of.
I would hope so. I host the Leaf show. I hope I know a little bit what I'm talking about.
FanDuel is eagerly anticipating the return of the NFL so they can just empty your account with your terrible picks.
It's funny you say that, because I did get a text from a gentleman, a DM on Instagram, asking, hey, you still looking for roommates? I'll take the opposite of each bet you take. That way, rent will be covered either way.
Wow. And that's right. We'll have to get back into the roommate conversation a little bit later in the program.
Yeah, you've just been getting DMs show here.
Al's brother is indeed potentially looking for a roommate. So
people,
if you have interest,
reaching out.
You know where to find him on social media. One more, Graps.
I mean, just quickly, I think I can't wait to get Bob Weeks' thoughts on potentially living with you.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
He'll say, who? Who?
He knows you. He knows
All right, confirm or deny. Final one. Scotty Barnes should be enough of a draw to get the Raptors playing on Christmas Day. Not is, should be.
I'm going to deny this one.
Yeah.
And we know the reasons why the Raptors don't play on Christmas Day. It's purely, and of course when they won the championship, it was a little bit different, but it's just an American versus Canadian television audience. Yep. It doesn't register for ABC or ESPN or whoever has the rights there. And why would they use a Canadian team on their most heavily watched days? It just doesn't make sense from a programming perspective. So
yeah,
I will deny it.
I'm going to deny it as well. If Scotty Barnes turns into one of the top, I don't know, five players in the league, which I don't think he will be just yet, maybe he can be, then maybe you're talking a different story. And that would have to include the Raptors making multiple appearances very deep into the playoffs. But until that happens, I'm going to deny it, Grappler.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a sweep here. I'll deny it as well, mainly just for the TV sector. I don't think that they'll be looking to bring in the Toronto Raptors. So,
What if it was Kevin Durant instead of Scotty Barnes? He's already a top five player in the NBA, Frank.
Also denying.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Although a Raptors-Nets rivalry game wouldn't be too, that'd be interesting.
How annoying are the Durant rumors that come out? Oh, an unnamed executive says Durant will retire. Or, it's just like, please spare us. He's going to play for Brooklyn this year. They're not trading him. That's the end of the story.
I'll tell you what, though. First day of training camp, if Durant is not there, that's going to be great for sports talk radio.
Yeah, it will be.
How big of a fat suit you think he walks into camp with, a la James Harden?
Even if he gained 30 pounds, Durant would still be skinny. Like, that's he's just a very svelte individual, the slim reaper. Thanks to Grappler for the questions on Confirm or Deny, which was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX350 premium package from just $318 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Well, the big meeting between the top players on the PGA Tour, at least according to social media, underway currently. What do we know? What do we expect to transpire from that? We'll ask Bob Weeks, our golf analyst here at TSN, that question and more next. The third hour of Overdrive rolls on here on TSN 1050 and up on the iHeartRadio Canada app. Karolnik, Al's brother, Frankie Corrado with you until 7 p.m. And there was a clip that I came across, fellas. Well, welcome Bob Weeks, our golf analyst, to the show in about 4 minutes. But before Bob joins us, there was a clip I found of Lane Kiffin. He's now the head coach at Ole Miss. He's been everywhere in college football, was head coach in the NFL very briefly. That did not work out well, but he has a new approach. And where he finds his punters, and punters have been a big subject of today's show. Al's
punters
brother,
are people too.
You will be surprised to learn how Lane Kiffin has found his punter at Ole Miss. Let's hear how it sounded.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him. I think he was down at the frat house, like at a keg party or something, where they got him from. So we got some conditioning work to do with my guy, but we just said, hey, someone go find a punter around campus. And so we found one that actually used to punt in Division I. So you never know.
Like, that's a real clip. That's a real thing. This dude rolls down to the frat house where John Belushi is crushing Jack Daniels and driving through the front door in a motorcycle, and that's where they find their punter at Ole Miss. You still want to add punters to fantasy football after hearing that clip?
Absolutely, I want to see that happening. 100%. Look, that's hilarious, by the way, that's true.
But you know what that is? That's some guy who's absolutely toasted, close talking you, telling you how he was a punter before, and you remembered it the next day. You're like, oh, you know what? I think I was talking to some guy.
We were good.
He must have had 48 beers last night. He was telling me how he was a punter. We should see if he can do it.
At the frat house, at the punter.
The goat house.
You know the punters are crushing the most. From that keg, you know, doing the most keg stands.
Well, you got nothing to do the next day.
Well,
you're just
that's
kick
it.
Balls.
You got to punt. You can be as hung
as
you want.
Yes.
As long as you can punt the ball away, you know, you can do just fine.
Yeah, you can help Al's brother's fantasy team.
Especially at Ole Miss, where apparently they don't really care. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Find this guy at the
frat
house. We're going to
go for it on fourth down. That's what
that
tells
me. Wouldn't that kind of rattle you, though, if you were like a punter or a kicker and you were actually trying to aspire to play?
Well, if he was,
football.
He probably would have been on the team, not just picked up off the street or in the frat house.
What do you think
the
conditioning stint is going to look like there? Like, can you just, instead of drinking 34 beers, can you just drink 12?
Or just switch to, like, Bud Lights instead of, like, the heavy IPAs.
I mean, like, how heavy set would this guy have to be for him to be like, we got to work on his conditioning. He's the punter.
Yeah, we're going to have to delve deeper into this situation. Maybe some investigative reporting from the three of us as far as Ole Miss and their punter. Well, let's welcome in Bob Weeks, because there was a big meeting between some of the top names on the PGA Tour, including Tiger Woods, who flew in to the BMW Championship, the second leg of the FedEx Cup. It is Bob Weeks, our golf reporter and analyst, and from Golf Talk Canada, joining us on Overdrive. Good evening, Bob. What's going on?
Hello there, AK. Well, nothing's going on yet, because the meeting, we don't know if the meeting's actually started yet or is still underway, but certainly nothing has ended yet in terms of the Tiger Woods meeting.
And
we do. Go ahead.
So I'm just curious, as far as the information you've been able to ascertain, as far as what to expect in this meeting and what conclusions can be drawn, what are you expecting to happen? I guess it's hard to predict, really, considering all the names and the magnitude of the meeting, but what could transpire here, Bob?
Well, let's just make a quick distinction here. There were two meetings today, or there are going to be two meetings by the end of the day. The first one is a PAC meeting, Player Advisory Council, which is basically the players voted up a number of players to serve as their voice, I guess, when they talk to the board of directors on the PGA Tour. And these guys do everything from talk about pace of play to set up conditions to live golf. So they had that meeting first. This meeting that Tiger is kind of spearheading and reportedly leading is sort of the big guns of the PGA Tour. We don't know exactly who's there, but it's not sort of an open meeting. It was, let's invite the guys that we want to invite, but these guys are obviously the guys who have a lot of pull. So you'd think somebody like Rory's there, and John Rahm is probably there, and Justin Thomas is probably there. We know Ricky Fowler's there because he flew in with Tiger. And they are continuing a meeting that they started when they were at a J.P. McManus Pro-Am in Ireland before the Open Championship. So this is really, I think, they want to start putting some concrete ideas together about what they're going to do and how they're going to deal with Liv. And now we don't know what that involves, but you'd have to think he wants to look at the major championships, see how they approach those, world ranking points. All that kind of stuff, I think, is going to be on the table. It'll be interesting to see if anything, we hear that comes out of this meeting. I suspect this won't be the last one of these kind.
Bob, if you were kind of guessing or speculating, would you take it that Tiger's kind of acting almost like a commissioner in this situation, saying, like, listen, I've kind of seen enough of this, and I need to take a little bit of command here and kind of, you know, see what guys want to say and maybe point things in the direction that I think it should go in?
Yeah, listen, when Tiger talks, everyone on the PGA Tour listens. He is still, with apologies to Jay Monahan, who is the commissioner, he is the voice. Tiger's the voice that sways everybody. And you heard him, he's not been very complimentary towards LIV Golf. He spoke out about it at the Open Championship. He's let it be known what he thinks. You know, these guys are sort of basically playing exhibition golf. You have to go out and dig it out of the dirt. And he questioned the incentive that these guys would have to practice and work on their games with all this money in the bank. And I think what he wants to do is to protect the legacy of what is the PGA Tour and what is competitive golf when you get into the major championships. You know, those are the ones that count. Obviously, we know Tiger's been trying to catch Jack Nicklaus. I don't think he will, but those are the things that drove Tiger day to day, week to week. the bigger events that that Arnold Palmer runs, and you know, the Arnold Palmer Invitational and Jack Nicklaus's Memorial Tournament. So I think he really feels that this is a turning point, and I think he feels he's got to speak up, because there's more and more of these guys who are letting it be known that they'd like to make the move. And the latest being, of course, by hasn't confirmed it yet, but all but confirmed it, Cam Smith, number two ranked player in the world.
Bob Weeks is our guest, TSN golf reporter and analyst, part of the Golf Talk Canada crew here at TSN as well. And there was a confirm or deny that we played earlier in this program, Bob, and I'll ask the same question to you. Confirm or deny, at some point in time, there will be a Ryder Cup-style event between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. What say you?
I would say confirm, but it won't be for a long time. And if you were to do it today, the PGA Tour would wallop these guys. I mean, I think the international team would beat a team from LIV Golf right now. You know, they're not very deep. They don't have a lot of real current good players on that roster. But, you know, I think at some point there's going to have to be some way that these two come together in some way, shape, or form. Now, I don't know. You know, I think the first step is maybe there should be some talking. That's what Rory has even suggested at some point. I'm not sure if Tiger is going to suggest that. He's pretty hard line when it comes to most things like this. But eventually, these two are really cutting their knees off, because no one's talking about the golf that's going on the golf course. They're talking about the players moving back and forth and the money and the shots that they're taking at each other. So it's in both of their best interests to try and do something that at least makes this a little bit more civil than it's been.
Yeah, like, would you say that these meetings that they're having now, would that lead to, I guess, less animosity between these two guys? Or do you think we're going to come out of these meetings and it's going to be even more animosity? Like, the PGA Tour guys are going to hold even more resentment to the LIV guys that have left and taken the big paychecks?
I think if you'd asked me that before last week, before the court cases, I would have said, yeah, they're probably going to try and get, you know, a little bit closer together. But now I think once they've sued them, and now that they're looking to try and, some of these players anyway, we're looking to try and get back onto the PGA Tour, so to have their cake and eat it too. I think there's more hard feelings. There's a harder stance being taken by them. You can hear it. I've texted with some players who were kind of like shocked that these guys would try to get back into the FedEx Cup playoffs after taking all this money and saying they don't want to play more golf. So there's still a lot of that animosity going here right now. But, you know, eventually it will probably subside. I think it's just too fresh right now, because don't forget the LIV Golf Tour is only three events deep. So they're pretty young still.
Well, we saw Will Zalatoris win the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. What will happen at the BMW Championship? Not sure, but it sounds like a lot of good talk around LIV, the subject that seemingly will never, ever go away, in spite of our best expectations. Thank you for doing this, Bob. We appreciate your time tonight.
Okay, take care. Anytime.
That is Bob Weeks, our golf analyst here at TSN. And yeah, the LIV story never seems to go away.
Have you watched any of it?
I have. I've been betting on the LIV stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
like, what do you bet on, like, the Crushers Golf Club?
No, you bet on, like, the individual. I kind of felt like there was, like, I just had this hunch that, like, Bryson DeChambeau would get it together. And because I watch a lot of Bryson on YouTube, he's got his own channel.
Yeah, you're a big fan of his YouTube channel.
I think Bryson puts out great content, and I'm seeing this guy. He's going out and shooting like 6-7 under on 9 holes. I'm like, how is he not winning the LIV Tour events? And then Brandon Grace goes out and beats him.
It's all,
like,
between the ears,
dude,
man.
What are you doing?
It's all between the ears.
That's tough. But yeah, I've been watching the LIV stuff. I like it. I mean, I'm obsessed with golf. I have a problem, an addiction.
That's the thing, yeah. So, and it's good, too, because it's like you just kind of stream it on YouTube, and then there it is. Like, I don't know. I've watched a little bit of it, and it's just like shot after shot after shot. There's no commercial break. I thought the funniest thing, though, like, they're showing the merchandise tent at the tournament they just played in out in, was it Bedminster?
Bedminster, Trump National
in Bedminster. They're showing the merchandise tent, and it's literally like a tiny little hut tent makeshift thing. And I'm thinking, like, if you're at a PGA event, not only is there a massive merchandise tent, there's multiple massive merchandise tent. Like, it just seemed so Mickey Mouse.
Well, I mean, if you look at the RBC, the RBC Canadian Open merch tent was enormous.
Right.
And let's just say I spent a lot of time in there.
Yeah.
When
any
it was
discount
at St. George's.
You?
No discount.
No discount. Hey?
Our boy Dan at Golf Canada took care of us on the morning show. So
nice.
You're always struggling with like the TSN merch. And,
yeah, I'm falling behind on that. So I initially, when I first started doing Leaf games with Taddy, I reached out to our boss, Stephanie Appolito. I said, listen, I'd love to represent TSN up there, you know, any kind of golf shirts kicking around. She said, yeah, I'll look into it. And I did the first game with Taddy, and I did it in a golf shirt, and I was freezing, like legitimately shivering up there in the 600 level. I texted her after. I said, just cancel that order.
How about some TSN quarter zips?
Quarter zip is a good play.
Those are in play for you.
The thing is, I saw Taddy, and he was done up. Like, Taddy's done up. He's got
suit, tie,
vest. Like, he's not vest, like one of those like cotton vests, you know,
cotton sweater vest. Like,
yeah, sweater vest. Exactly.
He's an esteemed gentleman.
Yeah, looks like you said, I can't come here quarter zip. I gotta.
I think you could. You're the analyst. You're the athlete. You can pull off the look.
You gotta pay your respects to the tat man.
Quick story: Dave Naylor, our TSN football insider, reporting that Andrew Harris out 4 to 6 weeks for the Argos. He's got a torn pec, could potentially miss the rest of the season.
Torn pec, not a good
injury for a running back. Think about, you know, the ability to
carry
the ball. Yeah, that's ball. And I'm sure everyone's seen the videos of like people lifting weights, like bench pressing.
Oh, it's so
and
gross.
The torn pecs. Yeah, that's a tough one. So we wish Andrew Harris a speedy recovery. The Argos taking on Calgary on Saturday down at BMO Field. I think the X is opening soon. Maybe next week?
Well, it's simply what, the last 2 weeks leading
maybe
up to Labor
Saturday,
Day?
Maybe Saturday, actually.
Should be coming up this weekend.
You go to the X?
Oh, the Argos game into the X. That's the move.
Really? Argos or TFC, because you get free access into the X.
Oh, okay, so what do you go to the X
weekend.
For?
It is this weekend.
Like, what do you go there for?
The donuts.
Hang around. Yeah. Tiny Tom donuts.
The donuts.
Just go to work.
I don't know. You can go to Wonderland anytime and get them. Why do you need to go to the X?
The X is like a 20-minute walk from my house.
It's not far.
Wonderland is not. So
you come visit me, man. I got a nice view.
I'm still waiting for my invitation.
Have you not been to the X?
I've been probably once in my adult life.
So it's not the donuts, but they have an entire, the whole arena is set up. There's just a massive food.
The big food building.
Oh, they don't have that at Wonderland.
I guess so.
Where are you going to go get a donut burger or whatever they got? They always have like the most.
Brother, I don't put that kind of stuff in my body, man.
Fair enough.
This guy works out 6 a.m. every day. His body is a temple. He will not be eating any Tiny Tom donuts.
The routine now is I set an alarm for 5:40, try and get my way down to the gym. And put on First Up and listen to you and Carlo.
I
appreciate the six o'clock hour because it's just you two just talking about your day and what's happening. And I like to keep tabs on you guys.
It's starting to click for me that First Up begins in about, 11 and a half hours? And I need to do that show, too. So it's going to be a quick turnaround for yours truly.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we got a lot of good content, including tonight's Jays game. Huge game for Toronto with Alek Manoah on the hill. A game I saw the Jays were -210 on FanDuel, so you can expect a win, especially with Manoah on the hill. But I'm a little skeptical.
Hope.
I don't know. Manoah
this Baltimore
didn't,
team is
he didn't
so
look good.
Last three starts he hasn't looked Manoah-esque. It's almost as if it's starting to kind of wane, and that shoulder's getting a little heavy.
Well, it's
let's hope not.
A lot of innings, man. Like, this guy's a young kid, has not been taxed with that type of workload
and
in his career.
And remember earlier in the season when they had the pitch count, was it 90 pitches and he was done? Like, and we were talking about, keep him in, let him go seven,
let him go
eight.
He was tossing like a no-hitter through seven.
I know. That one was different. I just think there was other circumstances where it was like, nope, he hit his count and he's out. That's it.
Yeah.
We will get to our FanDuel best bets on the other side. I believe Grappler has compiled them. He's giving me the thumbs up. Looking forward to maybe he's taking the Jays. Maybe he's taking the O's. We'll have to find that out. And we've got a couple more things to touch on before we wrap up today's program, including the latest on Al's brother's search for a condo. That's next on Overdrive. It's our final segment of the evening, the afternoon, the evening here on Overdrive. Karolnik, Corrado, DiStefano. What a ride it's been, fellas. A big revelation earlier in the program was that Al's brother contemplating a move back into the city. Of course, you live in Niagara Falls right now. It's a hefty commute up here to Scarborough, Ontario.
Yeah, so long overdue.
It's only natural, and we need you to hang out with us. You know, Frankie and I, we get together all the time. You could join us. So it would be important for you know, you to be in the mix again, not out in Niagara.
It would be. It'd be nice to, you know, be able to go to a lot more games, go head down to some Leaf games if I'm in the city, and, you know, some Jays games, got the Raptors right around the corner.
You don't have to worry about looking for media parking.
I could just walk there. I can't believe you sewered me like that, by the way, Frankie.
Sorry, buddy.
Because it was the next day I got called. I called on that hard by O-Dog on Overdrive. Yeah. Oh, man, that was tough.
Sorry, pal.
But you are indeed tonight looking for a new condo, and you're, you know, interviewing potential places for your potential residency. Very exciting news.
You're getting a lot of DMs here.
There is a possibility with this condo you're looking at tonight that there could be a roommate situation in the mix. And I know there have been a number of people DMing you. Any good options that have emerged?
Hey, man, there's a couple options there. You know, somebody's saying I build absolute fire charcuteries, and that's the key to my heart. So
that's all it takes.
Potentially, if you can build a charcuterie with, obviously, wings on the board, 100%, that's got to happen. That's a pretty good start.
I wonder if there's anyone listening who has, like, multiple investment properties and might have one just kind of kicking around and wants to be a part of Al's brother's life.
It'd be
and
a
wants
smart
to be,
move.
Wants
it
to be a part move. Of the Overdrive family, the TSN 1050 crew, and he just says, hey, Al's brother, just take this
or
place for a little
discounted,
bit.
Or discounted, like, $500 a month.
What go can you what can you swing, Al's brother? Like, there you go.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. So if that is indeed you're out
hit
there and that's what you want, hit him up.
Kindness of your heart, helping out Al's brother.
We'll get the update on your situation, how the whole house hunt went. Maybe we'll find a way to get
hopefully
to the station.
I can finally find a
spot.
Well,
yeah, you'll text us, and we'll relay the information. Well, if you need to make some money to pay off a condo, I mean, there's only one way to do it, and it's with the FanDuel Best Bets, brought to you by Grappler. Go ahead, Graps.
The FanDuel Best Bets, which, despite being, let's just say, incomplete of information yesterday, they were 3 for 3. So
no big deal.
Feeling good going into tonight.
Here we go.
It's Gucci.
Today's best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We are, of course, going to start with Jays Orioles. Ryan Mountcastle, I don't know what the hell it is when he's playing the Jays, but he pretty much becomes Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Maguire, Sosa, Aaron Judge, you name it. He's just an absolute stud whenever he plays the Jays. Plus 300 to get two hits. I think you got to go with that. Manoah's strikeout total is 5.5. As you guys mentioned, hasn't been at his best lately. I think he returns to form tonight. Going to take the over on K's for Manoah. You can get that at minus 116. I'm not encouraging this. I'm just mentioning it as an option. Rougned Odor back in the lineup for the Orioles.
Don't you dare.
Okay, no, just side note, I've had enough of booing him. Like, it was 6 years ago.
I know.
You can't just keep booing the
guy.
We just
love hating people sometimes.
Yeah, I guess, we are pretty good at that. But anyways, he's plus 440 to hit a home run. Yeah, might want to sprinkle that. And also White Sox Astros tonight got a matchup of two AL Cy Young candidates, Justin Verlander and Dylan Cease. Two strong offenses, but with a matchup like that, I can't see too high scoring of a game. The total for runs is 7. Taking the under on that, which you can get at minus 115. Today's best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today.
That was the Grappler with the FanDuel best bets. And man, the Jays game tonight, I don't think we can understate how important this game is.
Yeah.
When you have Manoah, considering the way the team has been playing, I know there's like 48 games left or whatever it is. But, gotta beat the Orioles. Because if the Jays lose tonight, they are a half game up on the Orioles for the final wild card spot.
Think about what we're talking about and how different this season has actually gone. It's mid-August, and we're not talking about Jays Sox, Jays Yankees, and how big of a series it is. It's Jays and Orioles.
For the final wild card spot, too. We're not even talking about top of the division, man.
Oh, boy.
It's a bit of a fall from grace from where this team was, I guess, picked to be at, right? You talk about second best odds going into the season as far as World Series odds. But
did we overrate them or have they underperformed? Which one do you think is
probably
more
a combination of the two?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, at this point in the season, what's the potential for the Jays? Like, are they under potential for sure, but how high is that ceiling?
That's the thing. I mean, they have the talent on paper to go on a significant run, but
do they?
It's 110 games into the season or whatever it is, and we haven't really seen it consistently. I suppose You can catch lightning in a bottle.
If you don't get a third starter, like if Barrios doesn't pick it up or Stripling doesn't come back and he's lights out like he was when he left, you can kiss it goodbye because you're not going to win a series just with two pitchers.
So big show on Overdrive tomorrow. I mean, they will be without us three, but unless, are you back on the show? All right, so there's the continuity. Tomorrow. Brooke Henderson on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills.
Talk about Ariza.
Your boy, Hunt God, Matt Ariza.
He'd be into punters
Fantasy. Do you want me to see if Brooke wants to join us for a round of golf at some point?
I think you could
ask her. She would want to play Caledon Woods
if you even try and ask that question, I'm turning your mic off.
We are not going. Question. Hey, Brooke, you want to play with me and my friends on the weekend? She'd be like, no, actually, I'm one of the greatest golfers in the history.
I want to ask her, like, I think she is the greatest Canadian golfer of all time. I do.
Most decorated.
I think that's sure. I don't think Absolutely. That's a hot take at all. No. Bob Weeks said the same thing. Yeah. Not on this program.
She's won two majors.
That's right. That's exactly it. So we're done here. What an afternoon it's been, fellas. A true treat. Thanks to JP and thanks to the Grappler for their hard work.
And thank you for everyone at TSN 1050 for letting us do the show together.
Whether or not it happens again, it remains to be seen. But you're going to have to tune in every day at 4 p.m. And I suppose, we'll figure it out if we ever get to this opportunity again. But it's been a blast, boys. And maybe we do one day have this trio together again. But we're out of here. Al's brother, you want to take us out with the closing remarks here on Overdrive?
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow
at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.